Hello, and welcome to the Road to Genome podcast. I'm your host, Helen Bethel, genetic counsellor and workforce development and education lead for the Northeastern Yorkshire Genomic Medicine Service, or GMS. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Karen Westaway, who's here to tell us more about her role. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. So can you tell us then, what is your current job title and what does that mean?
Yeah, so my current job title is Lynch Syndrome Project Manager and Clinical Nurse Specialist for the West Yorkshire and Harrogate Cancer Alliance. Mm-hmm. Rather lengthy title.
Yeah.
And what that means is kind of the aim of the Cancer Alliance is to collaborate with stakeholders, other NHS bodies, patient groups and charities, and, you know, with an aim of patients surviving cancer, fewer patients developing cancer, earlier diagnosis, and just improving outcomes and experience for patients.
That's fantastic. And it's great that they've now got this specific project for Lynch syndrome as well, which, as you say, with those aims of the Cancer Alliance of earlier prediction and prevention, then, and Lynch kind of sits right in that quite comfortably, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, lots of ways that Lynch syndrome diagnosis and testing, and also the management of people who do have Lynch syndrome, you know, ways that we can look at improving that with primary care and mm-hmm. bowel cancer screening. So yeah, it's a really interesting role.
Fab. So for the listeners that don't know what Lynch syndrome is, could you just explain a little bit more about what it is and how it affects people?
Yeah, sure. So Lynch syndrome is an inherited genetic condition that predisposes people with it to several types of cancer, depending which gene is affected. So it's caused by an alteration in a gene called a mismatch repair gene. And these genes normally protect us from developing cancer. So when that system's not working properly, we're more at risk of developing cancer. So patients may develop cancer at a younger age. You may see family histories of certain types of cancer, particularly colorectal and endometrial cancers, as well as skin, urothelial, upper GI cancers. Mm-hmm. So many cancers can be involved in Lynch syndrome.
Yeah. So when you were younger, is this the kind of role that you aspired to be in? Did you always want to be involved in Lynch syndrome?
I think probably 5 years ago, I'd possibly not even heard of Lynch syndrome.
Really?
So very new to genomics. But I guess being a nurse by background, I did have dreams of being a nurse when I was a little girl. And then maybe when I realised what it actually involved, went off the idea.
Really?
And then as I grew up properly, thought, no, this is what I want to do. And, you know, I do have a kind of innate need to make people feel better or try and improve things for people. But yeah, I'm really proud to be a nurse.
Fantastic. So did you go straight from school into nursing, or did you spend time doing other things first?
Yeah, I tried to stay in education quite a while. So I did a degree in psychology at Hull, purely because it interested me, not with any particular career in mind. And then I applied for teacher training, but didn't make the grade. So education missed out on me. But
their loss.
And then, yeah. So then I guess I just thought, what else can I do? But didn't want to spend an awful lot longer training. So I did completed a postgraduate nursing diploma in year 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, and then never looked back.
Fantastic. And then from there, what area of nursing did you go into? Did you combine your psychology with the nursing?
I did actually think about being a mental health nurse for a while, but I was told it was easier to convert to mental health if you did general nursing, but of course trained to be a general nurse and stayed there. But my first job was in colorectal surgery at Sheffield, the Northern General, and I absolutely loved that. I stayed there for 17 years.
Wow.
And yeah, I really absolutely loved colorectal surgery. Loved the busyness, the type of nursing care. Yeah, a really good team.
Great.
Yeah. And then I went on to be working bowel cancer screening for a few years before this role.
Wow. So your background seems perfectly placed. Can you remember when you first heard the term genomics or genetics?
I guess genetics is something that everyone's heard of from being younger and not particularly regarding healthcare or, you know, nursing, but just, you know, everyone knows you get your hair colour and your eye colour from genes and some things might run in families. But it never kind of came into my nursing role. And genomics was probably when I saw the job advertisement for a CNS role with the Genomic Medicine Service before this role. So no, I didn't really know what genomics was or how it differed from genetics.
Yeah.
I'm a real newcomer to the field, really.
Yeah. So although you've left kind of the clinical nursing side of things, do you think, so you mentioned that in your clinical work you hadn't heard of genetics or genomics. Do you think that's the same today with roles such as yours?
I think probably on the wards, you know, it's probably not something that comes into those conversations too often. For the CNSs, the cancer CNSs, I think they are more and more picking up, you know,
aware.
Lots of them are doing BRCA testing already for the patients or, you know, different types of genetic testing. I think Lynch syndrome was quite new to a lot of the teams that I've been working with. And I think me being a newcomer and having to learn it as, you know, as a nurse and a newcomer was quite helpful in teaching teams about that, because I think it's quite hard for, you know, people like consultant geneticists or people with more scientific knowledge to maybe explain things on simple terms.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of helped that I've been learning.
Absolutely.
As I've been teaching, really. So.
Yeah. Well, you've been on the shop floor for, as you say, 17 odd years. So that experience that you bring, I imagine, is invaluable. And what kind of response do you get from teams when you first kind of broach them and mention about the changes that are happening and about genetics and genomics?
I think there is apprehension. I think probably understandably lots of teams, firstly, they're beyond busy, you know, they're trying to fit so much into their roles. More and more, you know, tasks and services are coming to these teams. So I think sometimes it's seen as, you know, one more thing that they've got to find time for. And so I'm always very conscious of that, speaking to the teams and, you know, realise how precious their time is.
Yeah.
I think some of them are probably apprehensive about the scientific aspect and, you know, how can I learn about this? You know, I'm probably like myself, think, oh, I'm just a nurse. I can't learn about this and test for this. And I think, you know, if you approach things simply and not overwhelm people with too much information and strip it right down to what they need to know to explain to patients and what the benefits are or can be. Obviously, it is still another aspect that nurses are expected to find time for or, you know, busy MDT teams. But I think once teams understand the benefits and the, you know, the shortening of pathways for patients to achieve a diagnosis or not, and,
yeah,
and cut that waiting time.
Yeah. And I think in the conversations that we've had through the podcast series with other kind of clinical leads who are doing similar roles about introducing genomics to nurses and midwives, they commented similar that, you know, with the so much clinical pressure on staff, it's very difficult to get them to prioritize time away. And so that's the first challenge. And secondly, it's the challenge of, you know, making them feel as if this is something that, that you're doing with them rather than doing at them, and so engaging them from the start of that process. And that kind of echoes really with what you're saying there. So from your clinical days then, Karen, can you tell us about a case that has maybe stayed with you that might have involved genomics?
Yeah, I guess because my knowledge when I was more clinical of genetics, you know, wasn't really there, or it didn't really cross my mind. I guess retrospectively, you know, I think of lots of, I still remember lots of patients, young patients, palliative patients with colorectal cancer who, you know, were quite, I guess, an anomaly at the time. You'd think, how can someone this young die of colorectal cancer? And, looking back, I guess some of those patients may have been patients with Lynch syndrome or patients who hadn't been tested. You know, we're talking 15 years ago or more. So I'm not sure what if these patients would even have been tested at that point, or if they were, it certainly wasn't anything the nursing team were, you
involved
know, privy
with.
To.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I think back now to, if I was looking after those patients, would I be looking through their notes for, you know, whether they'd had certain testing done? Or so I think, you know, ward staff looking after these patients would benefit from that awareness as well.
So you just mentioned there about you'd be looking in a patient's notes for certain testing that they might have had done, which might give an indication about the cause of their cancer. Can you just explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I'd probably be looking to see if the tumour or biopsies had had any kind of mismatch repair testing, you know, MSI testing or IHC. So, you know, that might be something we could ask on a ward round or, you know, bring to our handover or if not, you know, why not? And, you know, is this something that we need to be considering in this patient?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that kind of general information about, you know, someone who might be under 40 and and diagnosed with colorectal cancer, should we be doing some different types of testing to see what treatment might be effective or more effective for them?
Yeah. And what are you looking for in those MSI and IHC tests?
So we're looking to see if basically if the MSI status is high, or if IHC shows immunohistochemistry, shows that one of the mismatch repair genes has an alteration, then that might mean that the patient is more or is likely to have Lynch syndrome. But that can only be confirmed with a blood test.
And so MSI and IHC are really good indicators of Lynch syndrome. And as you say, kind of indicating that patients might need to go on to have further blood tests. So they're really cheap and effective ways of screening, particularly those younger patients for Lynch syndrome. So in today's NHS then, those tests that you mentioned, who would be eligible and when are those tests introduced?
So NICE guidance now recommends that all newly diagnosed colorectal and endometrial cancers have this type of testing. And that was kind of one of the aims of the National Transformation Project, Lynch Syndrome Transformation Project, was to try and ensure that this was happening in all MDTs on the first available biopsy or tumor sample. And that may come into other tumour sites as well in the future. So you would hope now that if you looked in a patient's notes or records, electronic records, you would see that result available, and then you can check that that's been acted on. Have they had a germline test?
Yeah.
Has this been discussed with them, the possibility of, of a genetic cause for their cancer?
Yeah, fantastic. And so you've mentioned a couple of ways in which, you know, on reflection, things are different today than they would have been when you first started your kind of your nursing career pathway. Can you tell us a little bit more about other ways that you've seen nursing changed over that time?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many more specialised roles now. You know, the types of roles that nurses perform now would have been the, you know, the realm of doctors years ago. And I remember when I first started nursing or training to be a nurse, there were lots of tasks that doctors performed that nurses didn't. And gradually that kind of shift happens where the nurses are setting up parenteral nutrition for patients, managing central lines on wards, you know, all these specialist types of tasks that come to the nursing teams. And now, obviously, the advancement of science and technology means that so many more things are possible now, and many more of those things are falling to the nursing teams. So they're given, you know, much more autonomy to provide specialist care and make decisions about patients' care with them.
Yeah. Yeah, great. So you mentioned about genomics. The first time you really came across that word was with the job advert. So what was it that convinced you when you read it in that job advert to take the plunge in applying?
I guess I felt like I needed a bit more of a challenge. And I can't remember the wording of the job advertisement now, but I think it did mention kind of colorectal nursing or gynae nursing. And I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, I think I saw it maybe the day before the advert closed or something. So I guess what really gave me the push was speaking to Jill Moss, the nurse director from the GMS. And, you know, so supportive and encouraging, just go for it. So I did go for it, and yeah, I can't say it was a dream of an interview. I was I think they asked me what I understood by mainstreaming, couldn't answer it properly, and now I just laugh about that because it's something I'm
so
talking about every day.
Fortunately
I was lucky enough to get the role, and the opportunities it's led to have been amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'm really delighted you did take the plunge, because it was great working with you while you were on that project. So thinking about your current role with the Cancer Alliance then, which bits do you most enjoy or find most rewarding?
I think the most rewarding bits are speaking to the people in the trust, or speaking to patients even, you know. I went to the Lynch Syndrome UK conference a couple of months ago and just hearing from patients who, you know, were newly diagnosed or, you know, had been diagnosed a long time ago, and hearing their experiences and what they feel is lacking in, you know, services was really, really rewarding to have patient contact again, because I do miss that. But the variety and the learning, I'm always learning every day, taking prolific notes every day and trying to absorb more and more genomic knowledge, really, and things that I can use in this role to try and develop services for patients.
Yeah, and for those people that you met at the conference, for essentially those future attendees who are potentially going to get picked up much sooner as a result of the work that you and others are doing around Lynch syndrome.
That's the hope. Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, what's the most challenging bit of this role for you?
I think initially in this role and the previous role with the GMS, I think nerves were a bit of a problem. We were doing lots of presentations to lots of different groups of people constantly. So that was sometimes a bit of a challenge, but now I can put together a PowerPoint with my eyes closed, and I don't feel quite quite as nervous. I think completing reports and kind of learning how a cancer alliance works mm-hmm. and the reporting methods and mm-hmm. how that all operates has been mm-hmm. another learning curve, as well as the genomic yeah. side. It's how does this alliance work yeah. and what do we do and what do we not do, and
yeah,
how do I go about yeah. this?
Yeah, I hear you with that, like moving from a clinical role to one that's very project management, mm. strategic focused. Yes. It is a real steep learning curve, isn't yes. it, from kind of clinical roles?
Yeah, so but I've got a really good supportive team, but yeah, another learning curve for mm-hmm. me completely. So I can't say I always enjoy filling in reports, yeah. but I'm not sure, does anyone? but yeah, the good bits outweigh the not so enjoyable bits.
Great,
definitely.
Great. And what's a typical day like for you then?
I'm guessing you're meaning a work day, Helen, yes, so I won't.
Yeah. start from 9 o'clock yeah, rather once than the 6:30. Kids are out, yeah.
Let's start there. Yeah, lots of coffee. definitely first troll through emails, mm-hmm. whatever emails have come in, see if there's anything that needs an urgent response. And then just see what meetings, lots of Teams meetings. Mm-hmm. And just keeping lots of plates spinning, mm-hmm. lots of aspects of my projects. Mm-hmm. I've got a big board behind my screen with full of post-its for different projects. I look up every so often to make sure I'm not missing a trick, really. And, you know, have I spoken to them recently? Mm-hmm. Have I linked in with them recently? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots of Teams meetings, planning for education, and linking in with other members of the Cancer Alliance yep. to see how my work can slot into theirs, mm-hmm. really. And yeah, it's lots of Teams meetings, lots of reporting, and lots of kind of presentation developing for different purposes and different groups.
Yeah, fantastic. And so what do you think, looking at the horizon now, what do you think is the most exciting bit or thing that's happening that's on the horizon?
I think in cancer and genomics, the vaccine mm-hmm. development is really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that patients might be treated for cancer with vaccines mm-hmm. or may even be prevented from
yeah.
developing cancer mm-hmm. by a vaccine is just mind-blowing.
It really is.
Yeah, and every day, you know, I read something new that blows my mind in genomics. So, mm-hmm. But vaccines just, yeah, and the different testing methods, mm-hmm. picking up cancer from a urine test. And I guess, you know, we have the FIT tests already that mm-hmm. can detect blood in stool samples. Why can we not pick these things up in urine samples
yeah.
or sputum samples? Or
yeah.
Genomics will just feels like it will change everything in cancer.
It feels like the kind of the research articles that we might have seen, you know, 5-10 years ago, which seemed like pipe dreams, are suddenly coming at an absolutely incredible speed mm. down the lines, aren't they? And as you say, the idea of vaccines against cancer, you know, and being able to test for cancer on a blood test, on a urine test, is just, as I say, kind of the stuff of yesterday's dreams, really.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's come so quickly. Yeah. And what's taking up most of your time at the moment? What projects are you working on?
We have the Northeast and Yorkshire Lynch Syndrome, CNS, Community of Practice,
yeah.
which is a very long title, and this may evolve in time, but we have Teams meetings every couple of months, just no particular agenda, just for people to share problems or practice mm-hmm. or progress, how they're getting on with embedding Lynch testing in their MDTs mm-hmm. or what experiences they've had. So they're always really good days catching up with nurses from across the region.
That sounds great. And if somebody wanted to be involved with the network, how would they go about joining that?
So you can either email me at k.westaway@nhs.net, or I'm on Twitter, try to share these things on Twitter or LinkedIn. And the Cancer Alliance, if you follow the Cancer Alliance or the GMS, they tend to reshare things when I post them on social media. So it's not something I used much before this role, but social media has been really helpful in finding things out and spreading the word about our work as well. So it's sometimes hard to reach people if they're not on these platforms, but I've found it really, really useful in these roles.
Fantastic. So for you, Karen, then, where do you think your ambition will take you?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure I had much ambition before this, but I really would like to stay in genomics, but I still feel very strongly that I want to be a nurse.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of being a nurse, and I don't want to lose that aspect of my role or that title. So I'm not really sure, if I'm honest, Helen, because there aren't that many roles out there yet for nurses in genomics, but I'm sure they will start coming thick and fast.
Yeah.
So I just need to stay, keep my head in the books to make sure I'm ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd certainly like to stay in genomics if possible, or helping others to learn about genomics in nursing, because the nursing teams need to be ready for what's coming.
Fantastic. Well, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much, Karen.
Oh, thank you, Helen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you would like more information about the topics that we have discussed, then you can find these at our website, www.ny-genomics.org/podcasts, where you'll also find all the episodes in our podcast series. These can also be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms.